Well, if you have a Bible or a device in front of you, it'd be helpful to have Romans 12. Romans 12 open before you. I'll read from verses 9 through 16. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not think you are superior. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Every so often things happen between the completion of my sermon notes and Sunday morning. Things that caused a major rerouting of what I had. Things happened yesterday. As I just mentioned, our good and beloved friend, our previous director of music, David Scutt, had this deep vein hemorrhagic stroke. And he's in a very precarious position between life and death. Apparently, it came out of nowhere. And as many of us know, David is a very, very gifted artistic person. On the piano, vocally, composing, directing, and an incredible house painter. He's so full of artistic gifts, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, a major brain bleed. We heard the news about him at the very end of our staff leadership spouse retreat that Anna was mentioning. So we gathered, the 18 of us together, right before people went on the road, and we gathered and we prayed and we wept, asking for God's mercy. Among many other things, right before we concluded this retreat, we had just been talking about the fleeting nature of life, each one of our lives, and how we don't know how long any of us will have here. Last Sunday was All Saints Sunday, which is a profound reminder of the shortness of life as we named 14 names that were printed and then called out other names. We talked about at the retreat the need to receive the gift of each day as a gift from God, to receive it with gratitude and to receive it with the intention that God gives us to live in ways that we're called by God to live day by day by day. Because it's so easy to have one day just roll into another day and into another day doing the same old things, and it's so easy to get busy doing everything else without intentionally inviting God to move us deeper into Christ and to move us further out into that stream where He carries us. That's some of what we had just been talking about at the end of this retreat, and then we received news about David. We gathered and prayed. And then got into her cars to drive home. About a half an hour later on the road, Sid and I got a call from a longtime friend saying that his wife, a very close friend, especially close friend of Sid's, John told us that Carrie had just died. Just a little while before he called, she died. She was being treated for cancer, and it was a hard path, and they had just had some encouraging news on Friday. And then yesterday, her heart stopped. Right there with John in their home. She was in our wedding. Sid was in their wedding. Our kids grew up together. Suddenly, she's gone. So we pulled off the road to talk and pray with John and to sob. My heart feels like it's been squeezed hard. Obviously, it's kind of raw. So what I had in my notes yesterday, I'll maybe preach that another time. I don't know. But right now, it seems fitting to speak of a squeezed heart. And it seems fitting to draw on some of the things we talked about at this retreat. Because among other things, we talked about this complicated world, about this tumultuous time we're in right now and have been in for a while. There's strain, there's fear, there's anger. There are things that pull us apart one from another. There's some things we can't talk about with each other, right? For fear of damaging or losing the relationship. And some relationships have been lost. And there are a lot of people, especially younger people, who have walked away from the church altogether, believing that there's nothing here for them, that what we do here is completely irrelevant to the experience of life they have. I've heard that directly from people. Maybe you have too. Woven into this are all the many, many people who carry sorrow over death of loved ones. From COVID-19, of course, but also from many other things. And many people have lost jobs and homes and health insurance, and many have lost a sense of hope. And obviously, these are just a few things that we're dealing with today. Individually and as families and as a church, and all combined, it's pretty daunting and pretty combustible. And as a church, as followers of Jesus, we need to ask, what is most needed? How do we best keep moving forward? We can't put our heads in the sand. And how do we help this hurting world, our hurting neighborhoods? At this retreat we just had, again and again, the word foundation came up. Foundation. Our foundation in this rocky, strained, complicated world, our foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of God's word from beginning to end. Jesus Christ, who said to the Apostle John in a vision in Revelation 21, I am making everything new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. He is our foundation. It's in Him that we have our surest anchorage, our clearest direction, and our firmest hope. I read this yesterday at the retreat, right before we gathered for communion, in John 15. Jesus said, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Showing yourselves. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. And of course, there is so much, much more to draw from in Jesus' words and from the whole sacred story of Scripture. Words, commands, stories, prayers, all of them pointing in the same direction. Living our lives with love by grace, with an increasing and humble awareness of God's presence among us, even in us. Through Jesus Christ. And then letting others know about this. Because it's not just for us. It's for this world. Letting others know by way of how we respond to things. And what we talk about. How we talk. How our values show. How we go about our everyday lives. As long as we live with this precious gift of a new day. Day after day until we're done. The words of Paul I read earlier from Romans 12 are very clear. And it would be worth the time for all of us to read all 21 verses of Romans 12 later on today, and then again tomorrow, and the next day. To read Paul's words with the prayerful intention of absorbing them into our lives to such a degree that these actually become the way that we live. Listen again to a few of those words. Paul wrote, "Love must be sincere." In the Greek text, the word for sincere means not hypocritical, which means genuine. Not just giving the impression of love while harboring something else underneath. No, our love for others is to be anhypocritos, unhypocritical, sincere. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. With that word honor meaning to put someone else's needs and preferences ahead of our own. It's a first century anti-me first statement. Then he goes on, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Keep engaged, keep growing, keep asking to be moved further out into the stream where God can change us, where Christ is powerfully at work in us. Then be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Oh boy, that may not be such a high challenge when all is going well. But the ante goes way up when things are hard, when hope seems dry, when pain of whatever type does not let go, and we wonder if our prayers are actually being heard. Keep at it, Paul writes, with joy, with patience, with faithfulness. And then verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. That word hospitality, we know what this is. It's what some of us will do at Thanksgiving, where we open our homes and have people at the table, and we want people to feel at ease and comfortable and relaxed. We take care of them. That's hospitality. But the word Paul used here is philoxenia, which literally means love of strangers, stranger love. It's the very thing Jesus said halfway through the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, if you love only those who love you, what reward will you get? Even the tax collectors do that. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Even non-believers do that. Philoxenia, love of strangers, it's the exact opposite of xenophobia, fear of strangers. A very present reality today. Hospitality means making a place at the table for people who've had the chair pulled away from other tables. Making a place at the table. Romans 12 pushes us in every good way. It pushes us toward offering a genuinely loving, welcoming, healing response in this world where there is so much pain and sorrow and anger and division. Years ago, I went to a conference where Dr. Marva Dawn was the speaker. She was a brilliant theologian and a truly remarkable person. She was nearly blind from diabetes. Her legs were in braces due to multiple fractures because of extreme osteoporosis. If she took a wrong step, a leg would break. And she had intense pain from rheumatoid arthritis, and she shared all of this with us. Yet she spoke with such genuine love, and she sparkled with joy about life in Christ and the beautiful gift that followers can be to this troubled world. If only we actually carry the good news with us. She clearly carried it with her, despite years of relentless pain and setback after setback after setback. Her topic at that conference was Romans 12, and she later wrote a book on this chapter. At one point, summarizing much of what she was preaching, she said something like this: if we as followers of Jesus really knew the Bible, devoted ourselves to understanding the whole sacred story of God in Christ rather than just little snippets, and then took to heart Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and Romans 12, routinely putting these into practice with family, friends, and strangers, God can make a huge difference in this world through us. And she emphasized putting this into practice with strangers because, she said, and we know this, it's so much less demanding to do this with family, depending on our family, with family and our closest friends. It can be kind of easy. But in this broad world, our family and closest friends is really a very small circle. And as good as important as it is to do this with family and friends, Jesus calls us outward. He points us toward strangers, toward people we might quickly bypass or dismiss. People we might think, oh no, I'm not going to get involved with them. I don't know them. They've got too many issues. Somebody else will come alongside of them. I'm too busy right now. And then she said, and you know what happens next? Another day goes by. And another day goes by. And that becomes our lives. Missed opportunities to be stretched and used by Jesus. And then suddenly, one day our lives are over. We don't know how many days we have left. And jumping to the end of that all-day seminar, she wrapped it up like this. And I remember her just laughing with joy as she said this. She said, people, let's do this. It's right here. Let's do this. Let's truly be people who are Sermon on the Mount, Romans 12 people. Let's do this every day. Well, we have a gift of a day today. This day has come as a gift. Sunlight, fresh air, people we know and love. We have another gift of a day to invite God to make use of every gift we've been given and every encounter with others. It's all a gift, all of it, all by God's grace. And we don't know how many more of these will be given. So to quote Paul again, but from a different letter, from Colossians 4, make use of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace. Always be full of grace. So we'll leave here today to go out into spheres where we live and move. And how will we use this gift of another day, not knowing how many more we have? How will we use the gifts God has given to us? We will encounter people who are hurting and who are sad, people who carry sorrow or pain or loneliness. Some may be wondering if there's anything, if there's any real hope for something deeper than what they know. Some are looking for something good, just something good to happen for once. We'll encounter people who've got a core of anger in them, even if it's not explicit, or resentment. And we might run into people who have written us off as foolish for putting our trust in Jesus Christ. They might not put it that directly, but there are plenty of people with that view. We know we're in a complicated world. And we know that a lot of people are not beating down the doors of the church to get in, especially during COVID. And so we're going out. We're going out to this world today. To our families and neighbors, to strangers, to people we'll meet at Cub or somewhere else, to be in the midst of people who might be very different than us in many ways, but who need sincere love and genuine hospitality, who need to be heard and seen as important, just like we have that need, and who by God's grace might hear and see in us the light of Christ in some way. And maybe get a sense of that joy of Christ that he's put in us, that he said will be made complete in us. So as Marva Dawn said those many years ago, let's do this. Let's be Sermon on the Mount, Romans 12 people, day by day by day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, keep us on the right path of following you and receiving each day as a precious gift of grace. Each encounter is an opportunity to show love and welcome. Forgive us for how often we just go on an autopilot, looking past others or withholding love. And all the times we might say something that puts people in their place, but in hurtful and sharp ways. Conform us to your will and transform us into your likeness day by day, doing so in ways we maybe don't even realize. And so we pray for this today, that your will be done and your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray again for those who are bowed down with sorrow and worry, with fears and hard news. We ask for your mercy and grace. And may we be carriers of your good news in our words, in our faces, in our voices, in our attitudes and actions, in our welcome of others. We commit ourselves into your tender and strong hands, inviting you to do more in us and through us than anything we can ask or imagine. We do this in the name of our solid foundation, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.